I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to Lanche and Rouge Cycling Podcast, presented by Zwift for the Bahrain Victorious Preview 2023 Preview, who had a monster season in 2021, a good start to 2022, but kind of tapered off at the end. So this is one of our last previews. We just watched the Vuelta a San Juan finish on stage four. Well, there's like no footage of it. I don't know why. Yeah, we postponed recording this to watch it. So regrets. But here we are. Here we are late at night. Why is Remco in San Juan, Benji? Do you reckon he regrets it?
I don't know. I think he's still enjoying it. I wished him a happy birthday this morning. So it's his birthday and I didn't see him attack. Then again, we don't know because the footage wasn't there. Anyway, today is about Bahrain, not about Remco. So we won't discuss why Remco should or should not be at San Juan, because I'm pretty sure your opinion is, why the hell is he at San Juan? He should have been at the Santa Sudanander.
That's an extreme. Valenciana, maybe. The race around his house. Instead of getting angry at commissaires, justifiably, for dangerous parkour. But yeah, here's the Bahrain preview. But to remind you, or to let you know, rather, Zwift have released the 1.33 game release, available on all OS platforms now. Holo replays are now recorded and spawned for entire routes, not just segments, but they also wait for the rider at the beginning of the segment. New elements have been added to the heads-up display to help Zwifters identify information about their holo replays. So that feature's already being improved, and a new world has been added, Scotland. Scotland will be event only in February. Stay tuned for more details, but also there's the World Championships in Glasgow this year. So I'll be keen to see what the Scotland world looks like on Zwift. But Bahrain, 21 victories in 2022, which I think in 2021 they had, 30 victories. They had a monument win in Milano-San Remo, Flèche Wallonne they won with turns, Giro stage, no Tour de France or Vuelta stage, and a Giro podium with Mikel Landa, as well as about 8 World Tour victories. So a good season, Benji. Clearly above average team.
Above average, but it's difficult to like compare it to 2021 here, because if you get such a good season in 2021, then it's really difficult to replicate that the year after. But I feel like just saying 21 victories, just saying 8 World Tour wins doesn't say enough about what Bahrain did throughout 2022, because they are very prominent in not winning, but being close as well. As in, Mohoric won Sanremo, you mentioned it, but he also got 4th at E3, was very prominent in Paris-Roubaix, was in the group with De Vriend, then had his puncture, ended up 5th in that race as well. So 5th in a monument, next to already winning a monument, pretty good result. Dylan Teun, 6th in LBL, next to that Flèche win, got a top 10 at RVV as well with a 6th place, 7th place in that race with Fred Wright, and then 12th with Trotnik. So 3 riders into the final, or at least somewhat into the final of the Ronde van Vlaanderen. So that's pretty prominent in there as well. They are in each race present. Landa, 3rd in Lombardia. And we look at the stage races, and that's the most deciding factor when it comes to getting loads of UCI points. Not that they really cared about it, but 3rd with Bilbao at UAE Tour, 6th with Haig at Paris-Nice, 5th with Bilbao at Itzulia, 4th with Caruso at Dauphiné, Romandie, 2nd and 6th with Maidre and Caruso, and then at Polonia, Bilbao 3rd. But those are loads of like close positions in one-week World Tour races, but they're not exactly winning them, because let's be honest about it, Bilbao was not the ultimate GC winner in one-week races. Haig the same, Landa the same, Caruso the same, Mader the same. They're all very close, but they're not winners in that. And the same is the thing with the Grand Tours. You mentioned Landa podiuming the Giro, 5th with Bilbao there, 12th with Buitrago. They didn't do well in GC at the Tour at the Vuelta. 13th with LLS, Luis Leon Sanchez at the tour. That's, he was there, and that's good for Luis Leon Sanchez, let's be honest. But
yeah, Haig crashed out again. Yeah,
exactly. And did Haig then go to the Vuelta or not? I can't remember.
No, his hand was still, he couldn't recover in time because the Vuelta was soon after. So his season was kind of ruined by that.
Yeah. So we're looking at this entire list, and we're not even talking about the stage wins. You mentioned that they didn't have a stage win in Tour de France and La Vuelta, but La Vuelta, Fred Wright, second, third, fourth in stages. Like, he got so close and everything, but didn't get the victory. Second in the Tour de France stage, second in the point classification of the Vuelta. This guy is destined to win a stage win at the Grand Tour so imminently, but he's gotten just not the victory so far. Is 2023 going to be the breakthrough of Fred Wright? As in winning?
I mean, he should, yeah. He's not never won a pro race, is that right?
I don't know.
It's incredible that he hasn't won one. But yeah, he'll win something. He'll get more leadership in classics. I remember in Omloop, maybe, he was having a ride for Colbrelli rather than being aggressive, and Colbrelli did end up coming second. But yeah, Wright's obviously a really, really good rider. I think their season, to me, definitely was worse after June.
Yeah.
To me, they were very, very strong in spring, where they weren't just close. They were winning monuments, winning flesh, winning boatloads of stages. And then the season, to me, was, yeah, worse after June. Caruso, nowhere. Bilbao was good at Deutschland. But yeah,
Moric.
I mean, Crow Race, sure, like in October. But like, it's a 2-1 race. They're competing against Kern Pharma guys and B&B guys. Like,
yeah.
It's not that important. Yeah, and post to a Vingegaard, yeah. I mean, Morris did win GC. So, and yeah, Wout Poels was good at the start, and then again, yeah, not that good at the end of the year either. So, yeah, a season of two halves for me, but they're transfers. So, outgoing, Luis Leon Sanchez broke his contract, or was allowed to leave. He had 1 year left on his deal, as I understand, and returned to Astana. Colbrelli obviously retired after his health issue or collapse in Catalonia, the stage Matthews won. And this is what I mean about the season got, you know, weird at the end. Like, Terns was allowed to leave early. What the fuck? Flesh winner. Like, they let him leave 6 months early on his contract. Well, no, not 6 months really, but with 3 months left in the season, he predictably went to Israel and didn't help them at all with their relegation issues. Like, why are they letting Dylan Terns leave?
And next to that, if you look at all these transfers, Dylan Terns leaving, for example, you mentioned that Luis Leon Sanchez was able to break his contract. You didn't mention yet that Trotnik is going to Jumbo, Novak to UAE, Chun Kai Feng to some random, I think it's a Japanese team, Utsunomiya Blitzen, and Stephen Williams to Israel. Like, is it a budget thing? Because we haven't spoken about the incoming transfers yet, but it's also not the most expensive riders going out. Then again, Colbrelli turns.
I reckon it is.
Probably not cheap. I think it's a money thing.
I think it is. I don't think Sanchez, because think about it, Sanchez, you know, he's old or whatever. Let me tell you, Luis Leon Sanchez is making more than Dusan Rajovic or Cameron
no
Scott.
No shit.
Like, you know, he's making more money. Terns maybe had a contract renegotiation clause where if he won a big race like a Flesher Classic, he had to bump up his contract, and they were like, nah, you can leave. And Israel were like, let's donate to the Dylan Terns fund because Verbrugge's mates with him. Or what's the guy that runs Israel?
Eric Verbrugge.
Yeah. He's friends with Terns, so he's like, here you go. I mean, it actually did make sense on paper from a points perspective with the minor GC races. But still, yeah, I reckon you're right. It has to be Benji because Trutnik, like, he probably should be on the most money now at Jumbo that he's ever been on, because I would say he's won a Giro stage and he, you know, able to come top 10 in classics. So, yeah, it's curious to me. Because, yeah, you think, oh, well, the Petrostate teams just have unlimited money, but I don't think this is the case. like UAE, that might be true. I'm not sure that's the case with Bahrain. They might have, tighter budget. But the incoming's actually got some interesting riders. Sergio Tu obviously is replacing Chun Kai Feng as the sort of Merida-placed rider, although he seems like he seems okay, younger guy. But the other signings, Fran Mihaljevic is the son of Mihaljevic, who's like, I think, the Moraine Zeman equivalent, or maybe the Grishin Ehrman equivalent.
It's either performance manager or like the manager. I don't remember which one it is. He's the matching
equivalent, I think. And
okay,
Erzen's the Giannetti equivalent in the structure, I think.
Yeah.
So he's actually really good. He's despite, you know, is it nepotism in being signed? You know, it's no coincidence he's on Bahrain, but the kid's actually really good too. So
yeah,
that's the reality. Like, he'd be getting a contract at anywhere else when you look at his results. You know, winning a stage of Giro di Sicilia, which is a professional race, not a U23 race, in a solo, 10K solo, as well as a whole host of U23 races. I'm really excited to see how he goes. He's on a 2.5-year Neopro contract. I think he'll be good straight away, actually, Benji, this Mihaljevic kid. I think he's really good.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think he just won the Al Salam Championships. I've got no clue what that race is, but it was written on the 8th of January. So we're celebrating it ahead of his teammate, which I think was also a guy that signed for them, but I don't remember Dusan which
Rajevic.
One.
I got an anecdote about that. Someone messaged me, so I'm sorry, I'm forgetting, but there's fucking big money involved. Apparently, really? It's like two. Apparently, Bahrain, some of those guys went across to these championships.
Yeah.
Like, and there's the Luka Mezgets was there, Gregor Boll was there, who's retired. Yeah. I think he was on Bahrain. They put a team together. They brought back 200,000 euro from that January thing.
That's crazy.
Fuck TDU. I'm going to Al Salam Championships, baby. It's closer to Europe, too.
Can they invite us for like a podcast or?
Mate, I'll be racing it next year on my new trajectory. But yeah, they are a nice little January payday. That's what the Al Salam Championships is, which is pretty funny, pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's Mihaljevic. Cam Scott they've signed. He was on ARA Pro Racing Sunshine Coast, 25-year-old. He had won a stage of King High Lake before. He did the TDU for them. Is he a sprinter? Was he a mountain bike rider?
I think he had a bit of a sprint in a result that he had at Ronde van Overijssel last year. He got second there, and he also won a Memorial Philip van Koningslo, which is a race that he did against Belgian children, basically, or at least like juniors or something. So is that worthy of going to Bahrain immediately? No. Is his Sanderson underperformance worthy of going to Bahrain? No, but maybe he's the Yukiya Arashiro replacement as like a rider that
he's
gets
Australian
bottles.
Tim Melier. Isn't that who he is?
Tim Elier is a bit of a higher standard at the moment. Like, nothing to Cam Scott. Cam Scott is probably a competent rider.
I mean, the Merlier was doing these Kermesses, you know, when he was 25.
He was already a CX rider, no, Merlier?
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to hype up an Australian getting a contract. You got to work with me.
amazing talent. Probably Tour de France winner by 2028. Easily.
They are going with some sprinters, so Cam Scott seems to be that way inclined, and this team, remember, they do a lot of, like, they do Saudi Tour, they do Cro Race, they do a lot of 2.1 stage races where, you know, there's no Fabio Jakobsen there. So if you bring, like, Jonathan Milan could have won 3 Cro Race sprints in a row, he's a lead out man.
Yeah, but how many people do you need? Because you've got Phil Bauhaus who goes to these races because the guy rides no Grand Tour.
Bauhaus on a new level now.
You've got
He's graduated.
You've got Jonathan Milan who's riding the Giro most likely based on what I'm expecting him to ride this season and probably still riding the small races towards the end of the year, probably like a Cro race and so forth, still on his menu is what I'd expect. And maybe some easy Italian classics might also be there for him. But then you've got the Cam Scott that you mentioned, which is not necessarily in the top 4 of sprinters, I think, in this team, because Pascal On is also coming from Andromache, who has a capability to sprint. Nikias Arndt is probably as a lead out for Phil Bauhaus, I would say. He was that in the South Sudan under, I think, for Phil Bauhaus, and it led to a victory. So I guess we can't complain about his performance so far. But then also, you mentioned Rajovic as, or Dusan Rajovic, whatever you pronounce it. He got second after Mihailovic in that Al Salam Championships, where he also took the bag in. And he's a guy that won a sprint in Antalya, I think, last year. Was riding for Koratek, who's now going to the Giro. But this team, well, this rider, it's gone to level sprinter. Like, how many of those sprinters do you need? Like, how many 2.1 or 1.2 races, whatever the classification is these days, how many are you going to ride?
A lot. I don't know. I think it's in case Bauhaus does a more world tour heavy schedule, and then he can't go to Tour of Slovenia, and then it's for Jurajevic to be the sprinter in those races. Yeah, or, I think those races are important to them. They go and listen. I like the fact that there's a team that if riders win or do well in Croatian races like Trofej Porec or Slovenian races on the 1.2 or 2.2 circuit, even if they're 25, like Rajovic, and Golvakar came second in that race, he's 22, I like that they have a pathway to World Tour. But I agree, Benji, like they're not, you know, earth-shattering sprinters, but who knows? They go from Koratek to a better environment. Maybe they can also get better. I think Govekar's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, Govekar is definitely a talented rider. I do believe he's got a future at the team, and I think he's also going to play a role already in 2023 when it comes to the team. Not necessarily winning a Grand Tour stage yet, but I think he's going to matter. But then I think about that budget thing again, and maybe they're just getting those sprinters to get points in 1.1 races left and right somewhere, just in case the reducing budget doesn't lead to as many points as they hope still. But then again, they've got enough GC riders to get enough UCI points either way. Eh?
Exactly. Like, they're not going to be... And yeah, these sprinters are for stage race sprints, which still aren't that profitable. But yeah, Nicky Hassan, you already mentioned, he's a good lead-out man. He's German. He goes with Bauhaus. That's already been successful. They signed Rainer Keplinger. He's 25-year-old Austrian. Again, I like the fact that this team is a pathway for GC guys who are not 20 years old, who have been grinding the sort of lower Conti circuit in Eastern Europe, which Keplinger has been doing, kind of like Pernsteiner. He's, to me, this looks exactly like the Pernsteiner signing. He came fifth in Belgrade GC, second in Tour of Malopolska in Poland. He won Raiffeisen Oberösterreich Rundfahrt, Austrian stage race. So, again, I like that they've signed him.
I don't know. I feel like Pernsteiner was better. And when it comes to this guy, I'm not sold yet. So maybe I just need to see it before I start believing, because his results are not really the thing where I'm like, oh, this is World Tour.
Yeah, I mean, Pernsteiner won Azerbaijan. He did come sixth in Slovenia, which had World Tour riders in it. So I think that was better than what Keplinger has done. But I don't know. And Pernsteiner got signed when he was 27, I think, 28.
Yeah, that's so true.
And now they use him as a flat domestique for sprint stages. So, the Herman. But yeah, it's again, Keplinger is going to be on 50 grand, man. Like, yeah, not very much money. And Pascal, and you mentioned he might be on a little bit more. He's actually, to be honest, he took 518 points last year. And just if you take 500 UCI points, you'll get a contract. And he came eighth in Omloop, 12th in Dwars Door, 14th in Gent-Wevelgem, one circuit to Wallonie. Like, he's 35, journeyman sprinter, perfectly fine. But again, it's not really moving the needle for them, Benji. Like, is it tactically, though, with no Colbrelli, do you need someone like Pascal on to, like, when Moritz goes up the road, to at least have someone fast in the group behind?
Maybe, or he's a lead out for Milan. Just a random thought. Because he's done lead outs before, Pasqualon, so maybe there's something there. But I agree that it's more a C-Tech Colbrelli replacement. I wouldn't even call it B-Tech Colbrelli.
Yeah, C-Tech. For like Coppa Agostini or Coppa Bernocchi, right? Like that's why he's been signed, to try and sprint for a podium in those races. So I think we're onto something. I think we're right with, you know, if I add up all those salaries, I don't think it's very much. Probably Nicky Assant's getting paid the most, and he wouldn't be on $1 million either. So that's, their transfers. I would like to just touch on, there's no way those riders match the quality of Tratnik.
Yeah.
Like Tratnik, Turns, and Colbrelli were three of their best five riders, if you add in, maybe three of their best 10 riders, with Haig, Mader, Bilbao. Missing people, Lander. Novak as well seemed to be getting really good, but he, I'm surprised he went to UAE, but
Well, so after that Giro, I wasn't anymore.
After the dire stage. What do we expect from them in 2023, Benji? The Cobble team, apart from Tratnik, is still pretty good.
Yeah.
They've got Moric, they've got Fred Wright. They have Heinrich Hausler, who's still going. Who will step up? Will it be... No, that's not on that list. Will Johan Price-Pedersen Pascal on? Okay.
Price-Pedersen will perhaps make the team, but I don't believe he's going to be the most prominent rider in those races. And I think that Pascal on makes that team, not necessarily stepping up, but stay on a similar level. But after that, I'm already thinking, like, who on that damn team would fit in a race like that? Like, do we expect a Govacar to compete in cobble races? Or is that more the Italian classics? Because those are the races that he was more prominent on before. Like, he seems to have a bit of an engine, but is it really for cobble races? I don't know, perhaps. So I'm kind of looking at the riders that we haven't named yet. And Niklas Arndt could be in the cobble squad. I would say Gradek will probably make it. And then maybe that Machichu guy could also make it. But outside of that, like, Fred Wright, probably leader together with Mohoric. Hausler for Hausler, sole leader for Roubaix, obviously. Has to be, right?
Milan. Truly Milan. Will he take a step up in the classics this year?
He should, I think when it comes to Milano San Remo, I would definitely put Milan there, not just because Milan is in Milano, but also because I think he's a rider that has the ability to get into the second group on the Poggio. The first one with the punchers, I'm like doubting. That I find too difficult in my head. But maybe in like a second group, that kind of scenario I see working. And when it comes to Omloop, I believe Milan could do so, but he's a track guy. Is he prominent on cobbles? I don't know. I don't actually remember if he's
no results done. Really. I remember he was in an early break in some classic, not maybe Ronde van Vlaanderen, but he's gotten zero results in classics. And listen, he's had some injury issues. He had the Olympics in 2021. He sort of really only came good in August at Tour de Pologne this year, and then he had a nice finish to the season. And then you're having the question mark of, okay, he's come back from an injury or whatever, trained hard, and he's hit these lower level races in good shape where other guys are kind of just there to finish their season. How much can you value those performances? But Roubaix, this guy was on the track pursuit team with Ganna that won gold. Like, he should have he has all the characteristics of what a quality Roubaix rider should be, including handling. Like, he mixes it up in bunch sprints. So they got to send him at least, because they won't have seven better names or eight better names than him for it.
I think so as well. And then we've got the limited team when it comes to the cobbles. I don't think we can add too much more to the team we've already placed. Yeah, that's a name that is just going to be a team fill at the moment. He's going to be a domestique in that race. Let's be honest about it. Ardennes lost Dylan Teuns, but I still think they've got a strong team in the sense that Landa, Bilbao are going to matter in those races, but they're not going to win LBL and so forth. Like, I don't see that happening, although Bilbao is the kind of rider that has the descent for it and the sprint to finish off in a group, but Does he have the climbing to stay with the best riders on the final climb? I don't think so.
I don't think Bilbao can perform after 3,000 kilojoules. That's, okay. I don't think he can.
Your working theory.
Yeah. Oh, that's my theory for why he doesn't perform in one-day races. It might be proven wrong, but it makes sense for now. Jack Haig's probably one of their best Ardennes riders. He was very, very strong. If you remember Liège-Bastogne-Liège, he was the main rider pulling Remco back, holding the gap stable-ish for Dylan Teuns. I don't know if his schedule is conducive to doing the Ardennes because he's doing the Giro. So I'll have to check with him if he will do the Ardennes. If he's not, that's a big blow for them as well because he usually does Amstel, Brabant, Flèche, Liège as at least a co-leader.
Do you think there's something in Mohoric trying to do the same thing he's done before where he tries to climb as best as possible and tries to use the descent, the final descent, to come back to the group and then try something? We know that he's not likely to use his saddle trick there that he used at Milano-San Remo, the retractable saddle thing. I don't know what the cool name is anymore, but because of the weight, the added weight, he's probably not going to use that on a stage with so many climbing meters, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I doubt it. I'd like to... Zambanini also could be good in those races, but he's doing the Giro. Like, he's 21. Yeah. He's actually fast. He came fourth in Gran Piemonte Bunch Sprint. He's actually fast. I think he'll be a breakout rider in 2023.
Battistella. He's a Battistella to me.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Which is not a bad rider, eh?
I don't think he's going to be in the group of five in the finish in Liège, but I think he could win a Giro stage or something.
Yeah. Milan as well.
Yeah. But Ardennes, it's a lot of Moritz reliance, isn't it, Benji? Yeah. Classics, Moritz. Ardennes, Moritz. Tour de France stage, Moritz. Like, without Colbrelli, they're missing someone. And I guess Fred Wright could also do Amstel. So there's a lot of reliance on him too. And maybe Mihalovic kid steps up as well. Landa's doing the Tour de France, so he will be able to focus on the Ardennes. And, I mean, Buitrago's another name, Benji. Like, he should be good in the Ardennes, right? Like, Dani Martinez had a similar year in 2021. To Buitrago, probably a little bit better, but let's just say they were similar.
For the point there.
Well, like, able to win on their own chances sometimes and then really good domestique. And then 2022, Martinez was so good in Liège. He's incredibly good. So maybe Buitrago is good in them.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But does he have the sprint? Because Martinez does have like a somewhat of a group sprint we saw this year. Well, I remember that Buitrago had that kick in Saudi Tour, but not necessarily in like a group sprint anymore. Yeah, it's more on the hill than he needs to do it, right?
Yeah. It's like, it's kind of the opposite to Bilbao. I've never seen Bilbao punch away from anyone uphill, but he can win the sprint. You're right, he kind of... But maybe they send him and his schedule permits it. But yeah, the Giro will be Haig, Caruso, Gino Maeda, and Jonathan Milan and Zambanini because they're Italian. And what do you think about Haig doing the Giro? He's crashed out of the Tour de France twice in a row and sort of like Roglic. And so he's heading to the Giro, which I get. But I do think the Tour de France suits him much better. Like when you actually look at it, it's going to be hot. It has no TTKs, and it doesn't have pure mountaintop finishes, but it does have a lot of hard attritional stages. It's kind of like more like a Vuelta. I think it's actually the best possible Tour de France route for him.
For certain. The Tour de France is much better when it comes to the parkour than the Giro for him. Jack Haig's time trial is not at the level of the GC riders that we see going to the Giro, so a podium will be very difficult for Jack Haig. Is he happy with the top five at the Giro? I don't know. You should ask him. But it's also going to be difficult to top five that race, I still think. So we're looking at a situation where Landa spoiled him the Grand Tour last year. And I think Landa has also just gotten a right to ask to which Grand Tour he wants to go. While Haig, because of his crash and because of his crash in the Tour de France before, maybe doesn't necessarily have that ride, even though he had that podium in the Vuelta in 2021. I feel like Landa might just be on a higher step in that team.
And maybe Bilbao, and the Tour de France starts in the Basque Country. So 100% Bilbao and Landa are going to start the Tour de France. So I guess if the option for Haig is Domestique at the Tour or ride for yourself, have your own chance at a maybe not favorable Giro parkour, yeah, it does make sense to go to the Giro. But yeah, that's, you know, Hindley and O'Connor will be doing the Tour because they're sort of similar-ish riders with the TT. But yeah, that's one thing to note. I'll be interested to see how Caruso goes. What about Gino Maeda? Fifth in the Vuelta 2021. 2022, yeah, he came second or third at Romandy, like with the TT, but he really had a bad year.
Yeah, a terrible season. Honestly, a terrible season for Maeda. And I don't recall the reasons for it. It just seemed like he wasn't getting into the form necessary for the races that he arrived at. And I don't know. Do you have some conspiracy theory? What happened to Gino Maeda? Did he get drugged?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Like Jan Hirt at Saudi Tour? Oman, sorry. Oh, no, yeah. What was it?
UAE no, Tour. Jan Hirt got food poisoning.
Yeah.
That's why, because otherwise he was going to drop Pog and everybody on Jebel Hafid. Because yeah,
drug was probably not the best use of words in a cycling podcast, but I mean, food poisoning. Did Gino Maeda get food poisoning?
I don't know. I don't think so, because he did 60 race days through February and October, but yeah, he just wasn't. He like really wasn't competitive. Like, think about apart from Romandy, Paris-Nice, I don't know if he had an issue. He didn't start stage five. Maybe he got sick there. But yeah, like he did the Vuelta and he sort of was good in the third week, but he still got dropped. Like he's getting dropped on Pional, man, in the draft. Like they weren't doing, in the draft, you're not doing huge watts. So that's, it wasn't as good as his third week in 2021 where he was pacing Haig on Jaime Monteiro. As I said, he just turned 26, so like plenty of time to bounce back.
Yeah.
But it definitely was a down year, and he's got another contract for 2 years. So we'll see how he goes in the Giro. I think it suits him a lot, though, like those big mountain stages. He doesn't have the peak watts, but he has, to me, what seems to be really good fatigue resistance. So maybe the watts per kilo tests of this recent Vuelta didn't suit him, actually, and he needed... because he came 12th on Picohana, maybe he needs like those mega attritional stages, high mountains, and it goes into his home Switzerland this year in the Giro too. Maybe he'll bounce back and it suits him there. I'd hope so. Caruso, no idea. He'll probably be good in the Giro. Yeah. How do you think they'll go in the TDF?
Landa should be able to top five this race.
Who have I got? Winning?
Bardet? Again? Well, no, not winning, but you said Maz was going to win. Okay. And then you said Jumbo was going to win. And then you said Pidcock was going to win, or was that next year?
No. That's in 24.
Well, 24 is Olympic, so can he do it in 24, Pidcock?
True.
Haha.
And then who I said winning in 25? Uiterbrooks?
Sheffield? And Uiterbrooks?
Sheffield, that's right.
You've got a long list of winners for like the same year.
Yeah, there must be multiple Tours de France happening in my reality in each year. But land a podium. Got to.
Top five, like, I think.
I think it says Jonas, Pog, they're pretty good. Enric, how will he go? Landa's just got to hope one of them fails. And then there's
one
the podium.
1 second from the podium.
Landa's better than... Would you trust Landa, Hindley, or O'Connor more to podium?
Landa is more consistent. To podium, to top five, Landa. To podium, then... I don't know. I've got no clue. Because then it's more like, who's the guy that can have that one performance that puts him on the podium of the Tour de France? Which I don't believe Landa can.
the land of disrespect. I'm a landista. I believe in
Landa. Lockuplanda. Hashtag Lockuplanda.
Chain there's Lander. No Freelander anymore. He literally is Tour de France leader in the Basque Grand Départ, Tour de France. Like, he's got freedom. Let's see what he does Bilbao. With it. Nah, Bilbao will just do his thing. He'll just ride for a top 10, and he'll probably come eighth. Moritz will go, and Fred Wright will go for stages. I do like the way they approach the Grand Tours, Benji. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't say to Fred Wright, at least I hope not, you're going to be a domestique the whole race, or Moritz for the whole race. Like, I do think it's a good way to approach things, particularly when you don't have an out-and-out favorite for the race. It's better, and people are happy when they get their own chances. But yeah, any other thoughts for this team this year, Benji? Do you think they'll replicate 2022 or 2021, or will it be worse than 2022?
I feel like it's going to be slightly worse, as in it will be very difficult to replace winning Flesh and so forth with Dylan Teuns. Dylan Teuns' performances were pretty damn good. And like, they can't replicate the Colbrelli of 2021, but Colbrelli in 2022 didn't really do much anymore because of the injury, the heart issue that he had that made him retire. But Mohoric should be able to get a stage win in a Grand Tour again. That's one thing that needs to step up. And let's be honest about it. By the time we are recording this podcast, these dudes already have two World Tour victories in the Santos Tour and under Bilbao and Bauhaus.
They're just good at winning races. Like, they approach races well. They place riders generally pretty well. They target stages from breaks or reduced bunch sprints with the right riders with generally pretty good tactics. Like, rarely, Benji, are we saying how bad Bahrain's tactics were today. Like, they identify the parkour, and I think Bilbao mentioned Neil Stevens is quite tactically astute. They're like, this bit of the parkour suits Moritz's characteristics, that's where he should attack. That's why they win a lot of races too, I think. And as you said, they've definitely not replaced the high-level performance of a Tratnik, a Dylan Teuns, that they have with their incoming transfers. I also think, like, Moritz is like single figure odds for Milano Sanremo, which is completely like unlikely to, like, that doesn't make sense to me. His victory wasn't random, but it's not that likely to recur again in exactly the same way. Same with Liège. So I don't think they'll win a monument. And they won't, they just won't be as strong on the classics, although Wright will be good.
Fred Wright, podiums, RVV?
No. I reckon he'll get baited into like chasing Dylan Van Baarle with 70Ks to go, and it'll cost him.
It might be that he needs to replace those attacks that Trotnik was doing by himself in RVV.
Yeah.
And with multiple riders, that works because they were rolling attacks, both of them. And now without a Trotnik in that team, it's going to be him and whether Mohoric can step up and be that rider in RVV, or it's not going to be Pasquale on Hausler, let's be honest about it. So yeah, I guess we'll see. I think there's riders that need to will step up most likely. Ride will probably win a Grand Tour stage, should win a Grand Tour stage, let's be honest about it. Although the Tour de France is going to be a difficult one to get that Grand Tour stage. But the Vuelta, he should be able to get one afterwards. And Mohoric should be able to go back to his winning ways in Grand Tours. But he won't necessarily win that monument again. And like you say, this team probably won't win that monument based on what I can see at the moment. But who knows? Jonathan Milan? MSR? Dark Horse?
True, yeah. Last thing, like Buitrag, you know, they've got riders improving. They do have young, talented guys who have the capacity to improve or do better, like Made at Buitrago, Milan, Govicar. So I'm keen to see how they go. They've got a nice balance in the team. But yeah, I don't think they'll replicate certainly the 2021 level. But yeah, we'll see. Andalusia GC loading. The team they sent there is ridiculously good. So I'm keen to see how some of those riders like Lander and Haig and Caruso maybe are going early in the season. But thanks for listening as always. Until then, ciao.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.